I love the songs today. I think they were really good. They just fit the theme of today. There were several songs that said that Jesus is our King. Hallelujah. And I think that is what God desires to be in our lives. I want to start with Judges 6. And maybe some of you know it. It's the start of the story with Gideon. God had led the nation of Israel out of Egypt in a mighty way. I mean, I have never heard of a God like that in history that went against the strongest power in the world and forced him basically to, with his own words, say, leave this country, go out. And Israel had experienced so many things with God. And now they were in their country already for some time. And God had told them a lot, but in the meantime, many people had already died, and there were new children, and many of them, or most of them, had only heard about all these great things. And how it is with us people very often is we forget. And that's how it was with the nation of Israel. I start from Judges 6, just as an introduction. It was that time again, it says, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so that the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel. And that is always something wonderful when God starts to talk again, when there's communication and he says something to them. He says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now live, told us about. Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Hallelujah. That's sort of the way the enemy is. I think it's a very good comparison to the devil. We don't have the Midianites today, but the Bible talks about a great enemy we have. And this enemy, he loves to come in, and he doesn't love to just take a little bit. He loves to really stay so long until we are stripped bare of everything. Maybe it's the family, maybe it's you can basically number everything in your life. And the enemy wants you to be at that position where Gideon was, that you are just depressed, that you hide somewhere, and that you are just totally disillusioned. And maybe ask yourself, where is this God that I maybe only heard lots of things about? Is this really real, or is this all just fake that I've heard about? But the good news is that God loves his people. And as soon as they had reached the point where they cried out to him, he responded and he told them the reason why. Maybe beforehand they had made many plans. Maybe there were some people that said, well, you have to do this and that to chase the Midianites away, but maybe everything has just failed because the enemy force was just too strong. And then the last solution for them was to remember the God that they heard about, that brought them out of Egypt. And they cried out to him, and God responded. And while many maybe didn't even know about it, God started to make a plan to free them again, to bring peace back to them again. And I want to encourage all of us. I want to encourage you, no matter what situations we might have today, God is for you, and he wants to be the God for you that you are longing for. He's a strong God. Jesus said, for men things are impossible, but for God all things are possible. Hallelujah. And that is true, and you can experience it yourself. Now, I was actually planning to go through the story of Gideon, because I think in Judges we see lots of people that God called to save Israel again and again and again. God doesn't give up. But I think every savior in the Old Testament is just a little example of the real savior. So I want to make a big jump to the real savior that we were praising today, and that is, of course, Jesus. Because God didn't just stay up in heaven and call little saviors. At the end, he came himself down to this earth. And he didn't came in a way that he cannot know who we are, maybe as a big alien or something like that. No, he came as a human being, as a little baby. And he grew up, and he had, the Bible talks about lots of fears he had too, and pains he went through, and rejection he went through. And it says in Hebrews, it is so that he can also feel what we are going through, whatever we are going through. And yeah, we live in a modern world today. Thousands of years have passed by, and we like to make things very complicated. And if something is not complicated, we maybe disregard it and say it's not good. And so people become professors and doctors and like to have these titles. But the nice thing about the gospel is that it's very complex. In actual fact, the whole Bible is about Jesus, but it's something very simple at the end. You know, to a child, you can maybe try to explain a calculation to them. All of us who have kids maybe know that. If they bring some homework back from school and you try to explain that to them, there can maybe be some problems. But if you tell a child something about God, like God, the Father, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they're one. They can just believe that and understand that in a unique way. And Jesus told us too, if you want to experience or understand or comprehend the kingdom of God, you have to become like a little child. And that is a secret, I think, about many truths in the Bible. They are for the simple people, even for the children. Hallelujah. And so let's make this big jump, and let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek, Jesus himself says, he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live and his righteousness in some translations, and he will give you everything you need. And the Israelites at that time, they were just looking for relief. They were looking for peace. They were looking for, that they could just live, because it was not possible to live under this enemy force. Just imagine you planted something and you were just ready to harvest it, and then just suddenly this enemy force, the Midianites, came in and just took everything that you had slowly built up. A life is not possible in that way. Maybe you have experienced things like that in your life, and you are longing for this rest, for this peace, to just live. And Jesus is giving us a secret here. He's saying, seek the kingdom of God above all else and his righteousness, and he will give you everything you need. Now, if we would ask the question, what is the kingdom of God? Maybe two or three people can say something. What would you say is the kingdom of God? Say it again. God ruling, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's also a very good answer. And I saw something over there.
The rule of God.
The rule of God. Yes. Many know this verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? I think all the answers were already right in that direction. A kingdom needs a king. And a king also needs a kingdom to rule in. And so where the kingdom of God is, or where Jesus is king, where God is king, that's where his kingdom is. And at the time back in Jesus, there were also some opinions about the kingdom of God. Some would maybe say, well, the kingdom is in heaven, that's where God rules. The Jews were actually waiting for a king to come to make a geographical kingdom to chase out the Romans and to have Israel restored as a kingdom in that place at that time. But Jesus also gave a very interesting answer to what the kingdom of God is, and we can go to Luke 17. 20 for an answer to that. And there it says, Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over here, for the kingdom of God is already amongst you. Hallelujah. And we sang in this song, Jesus, my King. And Jesus said, if we seek first the kingdom of God, it's the solution to everything else. All things will be added or given unto us. Things we need, things we are longing for. And Jesus is saying here, the kingdom of God is amongst us, is in us, and that is what we have to seek first. And as I've said, a king needs a kingdom, and the kingdom is there where a king rules. And Jesus is saying the kingdom, his kingdom is amongst us, something we cannot see. It's in us. And Jesus says that the first priority should be that the king can rule in his kingdom. And if you are a Christian, then Jesus is the king within you. What does that mean? It means that you have a person within yourself. It's not something. It's not an energy. It's a real person. Some other situation where there's a real person in another person is when a woman gets pregnant. And it's a very strange situation, and only women, I think, know how that really feels, if another person is growing within yourself. But Jesus says we can all have that. But I think parents, they have something special. And since I've become a father, I didn't just get something, a toy or some other thing. I got a real person. But very often, if we talk about believing in Jesus, we talk about maybe receiving something. I've received eternal life, or I've received forgiveness of sins, or something else. But if you accept Jesus into your life, you get something that is incomparable. You get a person into your life. Hallelujah. And this person is the solution to everything. This person is the strongest power that there is in the universe. Jesus in us, I think that's one of the greatest secrets, and we want to discover that a little bit today. There's a lot of mention in the New Testament about Jesus in us, over 100 times actually. We can open maybe Galatians 2:20 to find one of those verses. And there it says, Galatians 2, verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ruth and I experienced this three times, Gabriel, Silas, and Ariel. And before that, I could only imagine it. My grandfather, he had a farm in South Africa, and sometimes you would see sheep coming into the world. And you can maybe compare it with a child coming into the world, but in actual fact, it's totally different. You know, when you get a child, you get a birth certificate, and they do a whole lot of different things. They do a footprint, and they get a tag. But when you become a father, it's a lot deeper than just having a birth certificate, than just having maybe a picture of the ultrasound. You actually get a new person. And when you received Christ, when you received Jesus, that is what happened to you. You received a person. And that is the difference. When you become a Christian, you don't receive something. Yes, you receive forgiveness of sins and other things, but you receive a person. We also have different notions about what eternal life means, but I think Jesus, he brought it down to the point when he explained what eternal life is. It has to do with a person, with a relationship. Let's open John 17, verse 3. And there it says, because many people would say, what is eternal life? They would say, well, it's a long, 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 very long time span that you receive. But Jesus said here, this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Hallelujah. Eternal life is receiving a person and having a relationship with this person. On Thursday, we went through the psalm, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me to green pastures. And many of you know that psalm. It's a psalm that describes a wonderful relationship, not just something you get. We can receive lots of things, and we can, if we have money, we can buy lots of things. But nothing satisfies us. There was a young man that once came to Jesus, and he wasn't just an Israelite. He didn't just know a lot about the Bible. He also had lots of things. It says he was rich, but still something was missing, and he didn't know what. And he came to Jesus and said, what must I do to receive eternal life? Something was missing. And you can read in this passage the cry that was in his heart. And Jesus said to him, just leave everything that you have, leave it behind, and come and follow me. And this, for some reason, this man became very sad, and he turned around and left. God was inviting him to have a relationship with him, to have a love relationship with him. But he turned around and left. He would rather have the other things. He had developed a too great relationship to all these things that he didn't want to have the relationship with Jesus. In some love stories, you sometimes read about things that people will do. They will go through long journeys and endure hardships to maybe do something for a person they love. But this man, he didn't want to do anything for Jesus. He wasn't interested in him, even though Jesus invited him to be with him. Hallelujah. And Jesus is inviting every one of us to not just give something to us, but to have a relationship with us. And that is the eternal life that we can have. We can have lots of things, but why are people sitting in front of the computer looking on dating sites to maybe get to know somebody else? It's because nothing in this world can satisfy. We are longing for relationship. That's the only thing that can satisfy. And Jesus, one who is God, wants to have a relationship with us. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, that is eternal life, to know God and to know Jesus. That's why Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, I know not what I believed, but whom I believed. You know, Paul was, before he just was a religious person, he knew maybe some things about God, and he had learned lots of things about God. He maybe, the Pharisees, they used to learn scripture by heart, so he could probably tell you lots of verses, but he didn't know God himself. But when Jesus appeared to him, he didn't need to know anything more or have anything more. It changed his life completely upside down, and he became a different person when Jesus came into his life and became the king of his life, became the ruler in his heart. Very often it is the way, that way with us. We read the Bible and it's something very dry to us. And we can get frustrated with it. And I tell you, if you only read the Bible to get to know the Bible or to study it, I wouldn't wonder if at some point you throw it out of the window. But Jesus said, the Bible is full of him. It's all about him. The Bible is a channel to get to know him as a person. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, to get to know this person, to read the Bible and get to know Jesus and get to know who he is. You know, if I would have just studied the birth certificate of Gabriel again and again and looked at the picture and maybe joined a father's club and continued talking about babies and continued to talk about this awesome birth experience and maybe written a book about babies and gathered more information about babies, yeah, that wouldn't have been it. This person came into my life, and it's all about getting to know this person. And that is why Jesus came, so that you can get to know him. And also as a Christian, you can read the Bible, you can read commentaries. You know, the Pharisees, as I said, they knew the Bible by heart. And if you would just open a passage of the Torah, the Pharisees could immediately tell you something about that passage and tell you the scripture by heart, because that's what they did all the time. And once Jesus talked to the Pharisees and they said, he said, you are searching the eternal life, you are searching the life you are looking for in the scriptures. We can read that in John 5, 39. It says there, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me and receive this life. Jesus was standing directly in front of them, but they were refusing to come to him. They didn't want to get to know him. And at the end, they crucified him and wanted to get rid of him. You cannot get to know God just by the Bible, or just by reading commentaries, or just by learning all the books of the Bible by heart. At the end, it's all about Jesus. And if you don't get to know him better, then you, like the Pharisees, will miss the point, because it's about a person. Many times, maybe from Christians, we hear, well, you need to read the Bible more, you need to pray more, you need to do this more, or you need to do that more, and that can become very frustrating. But if you get to know Jesus more and more, and let him become the king in your heart, John the Baptist said, he has to become bigger, and I have to become smaller. Then he will do what you cannot do. He will solve the problems that you cannot solve. If we go back to Gideon, Gideon had a plan when God told him, you will rescue Israel. And what he did was he gathered as much Israelites that he could, and he had an army of 32,000. And he thought, well, that's maybe going to work out. The Midianites are far more than that, but to win a war, you need lots of people. But God told him that he doesn't need lots of people. He needs you to trust in him. And so he reduced the 32,000 down to 300. And he went so far that Gideon couldn't comprehend anymore how this should ever work out of beating, of solving this problems of the Midianites. But then at the end, everybody saw that they didn't have to even fight. They didn't have to win a battle themselves, because the God that the Israelites had was a real God. The gods that they always turned over again, they were gods that you had to do things for, and sometimes you even had to carry them around because they couldn't even move themselves. But the real God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God that came down and at the end died on the cross and gave his life for you and me, he doesn't need any help. He doesn't need any help to solve any problem that you have in your life. He only needs you to trust in him. And that's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will work out. Read the Bible every day. Seek the kingdom of God, and God will reveal yourself to you and will solve your problems in a way that you would never imagined that he could do it, because he is the living God. Hallelujah. Jesus will do that what you cannot do. It's similar with a baby. When you get a baby, you also receive a person. And Jesus said, when you believe in him, you are born again. You also get another person into your life. But this baby cannot grow by itself. And so, but everything is already provided for this baby to grow. This baby just needs to receive the nourishment, and it will grow by itself. That's why the breast milk is something so special, it cannot be reproduced by anybody. And the breast milk contains everything that a baby needs to grow. It contains antibiotica, it contains... Say it again. Vitamins, yeah. Just everything for a baby to grow stronger and to become an adult. And that's what the Bible is. The Bible is nourishment. And in 1 Peter, verse 23, we can also open that up. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. It says, "For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever, because it comes from the eternal, living Word of God." And then we can jump to chapter 2, verse 2, and it says, "Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation." Hallelujah. Cry out for this nourishment. You know, babies naturally cry out for this nourishment. Sometimes too much, and the mothers get frustrated by that. But the babies, they just naturally crave for this nourishment that has everything that they need to grow up. And so the Word of God is this nourishment that we need to grow up. I noticed that whenever the Word of God doesn't play a role in my life, that like Israel with the Midianites, trouble comes into my life and problems start to arise and sometimes become so big that I'm not able to solve them by myself. I think that's how it often happened with the Israelites. God said you shouldn't make a God that you could see, and we people, we like to touch and see things. And so maybe there were these other gods that were just more appealing to them, and so they slowly started deviating away. They were maybe more attractive to them. And before they knew, they left the God that protected them, that led them out of Egypt, that was able to do everything for them, give them everything that they needed. And suddenly they found themselves in this situation that they weren't able to solve themselves anymore. And that's how it is also for us today. We maybe don't have the gods that the Midianites had or other nations. I think very often we live in a society that provides other things that can take the place of God in our lives, this relationship. It can maybe be things like this young rich man had. I notice you just need to log into Amazon and you have a whole lot of movies you can watch, and you can watch one movie every evening. And while you watch movies, you cannot have a relationship with God. And a movie can be very exciting, maybe. You can talk afterwards about it and say, "Wow, cool effects and everything. It looks attractive." But at some point you notice these are all things that don't really fulfill. They take your time. They maybe cost money, but they don't fulfill. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to develop a stronger relationship with Jesus. And Jesus said that that we can do that by allowing his word to come into us, like we read that in 1 Peter. It's the nourishment. And sometimes you maybe think, well, reading the word of God doesn't make any sense for me. I've tried it so many times and it's just so boring. But the word of God is alive. It's like a miracle. It's like it says in Isaiah 55, it's like the rain that falls onto the ground and it produces something that you cannot produce, and that is life. And when the rain falls onto the ground, you only need to wait for some time, and then life springs forth out of the ground. And that is how the word of God is. The more of the word of God we have in our lives, the bigger Jesus will become, the more you will discover him, the stronger the relationship with him will become in your life, and the more problems and everything will go away. Yeah, so let's finish there. We can maybe at the end open Isaiah 55, verse 10. It says there, the rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I sent it out, and it will, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I sent it. Amen.